Looking for a hauntingly unique podcast this spooky season? Listen to I Talk to Ghosts for chilling ghost stories, genuine in-studio medium readings, and a virtual seance table where the spirits have an opportunity to speak directly to you. Find I Talk to Ghosts on all the podcast apps, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Happy haunting.
Ghosty fam, Amy here. Welcome to The Activity Continues, a podcast where three soul friends talk about all things paranormal. Ghosts, hauntings, psychics, movies and TV shows, especially The Dead Files, and other spooky and spooky adjacent things. We also like to interview people in the paranormal community, as well as past Dead Files clients and other interesting people. Sometimes we even tell your stories. I hope you enjoy the show.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us again. In this episode, we discuss the Dead Files episode, The Uninvited, which aired on March 10th, 2018. Is that right? Or is it 15?
I think so.
Oh, 18. Okay, we'll go with 18. That. Yeah. It's from season 9 and episode 6 on HBO Max. I don't know what it is on anything else because that's where I watch it. And that's where Megan watches it too. I chose
I watch it on Discovery Plus. I think it was episode 6. On Discovery Plus.
Yeah, it is here. Well, it's the same. I mean, HBO is just pulling from Discovery Plus.
Oh.
So it's the same thing.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. It's the same thing.
I'm smart.
No, it's fine. It's only when you watch it on Hulu that's jacked up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because Hulu screwed up all their first few. Yeah. I chose this one because the client, Holly, is not only in the Dead Files group on Facebook, but she is also a medium who has worked with some other past Dead Files clients that we have spoken to. So, Megan, content warning. Do you think there's anything that we need to tell people about? I don't think we talked about anything.
I really don't.
There's some murders, but what else is new?
There's a touch on child death, but it's literally like they had a one-year-old who died and that was it. So
that was it.
I really don't think there's any trigger warnings in this one.
I think we're okay.
Yeah.
So on to housekeeping. This one will be out around Valentine's Day week. So we just want to wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day, a happy love day, even if it's just a self-care day.
Yes.
Because you don't have to have a partner to celebrate Valentine's Day.
Yeah. And you don't have to have a partner to be happy and fulfilled.
Exactly.
So just remember that.
Yeah. Get yourself a cozy blankie and some hot cocoa and watch some good smut
Or a slasher movie or whatever you want.
Yeah. Or
self-care.
Hallmark movie. Whatever.
I mean, whatever floats
your boat. Whatever works for you. We hope that you enjoy this episode.
We hope you enjoy the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome back, everybody. Tonight, as mentioned, we are discussing The Uninvited, which is Amy's pick. So she is here for her overview. Take it away, Amy.
Thank you. So today we are in Slaughters, Kentucky, to meet with Holly and her family, daughter Tila, son Ryan, and friend Frank. Here's what they've been experiencing. They're hearing voices, seeing shadow figures, they're experiencing physical attacks, personality changes, and a wrecked marriage. After Steve interviews the above, he goes into town and meets with a genealogist, a former cop turned crime writer, and a local sheriff. He comes away with stories of previous property owners who had a lot of deaths in their families, mostly due to heart problems. Then there are two stories. One is about a family of Steves and Williams that includes a few homicides, and the other is about a homicide in which no one pays for murdering people. Both stories confused us greatly, at least me and AP.
Me.
Okay, good. All of us. But don't worry, we'll try and clear them up for you later. Amy sees a gargoyle dragon thing with spider legs that can appear as a shadow figure and can give people nightmares. She also discovers a vast hole that has been there forever, out of which come what she calls interdimensional beings or aliens. In the reveal, Steve doesn't really connect any of these things to anything that he's found in research, except he gets Amy to agree that the aliens might have something to do with the deaths on the property over the years. But interestingly, one of the entities Amy sees ends up being not someone that Steve uncovered, but a relative of the family, the client's father. He has been trying to warn them about the aliens, but they haven't been listening. Amy gives them their laundry list of things to do, but says they really just need to move as soon as possible and as far away as possible. Do they do that? Stay tuned to see if the activity continues. Yeah, all I didn't. Right. I forgot to ask you if you were confused about that too, because I was confused, and then I looked in the notes and I was like, "Oh, good, Amy was confused too."
Let's just be frank. If you are confused, I am confused. So how often have we been in a conversation and you've been like, "I'm confused," and I've been like, "No, I completely know what's going on."
It just happened.
When?
The last episode that I was editing, I remember.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
I was like, I think Amy, too, was like, I wasn't sure about that. And you were like,
that.
I got it right away. I got it right away. And I was
when they were talking about the landlord and what, and because wasn't that the last one where they were in the, they were renting?
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, that was the aftermath. That was last season.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that's it, though, because I did listen to that one recently again, too. So it could be that one. But yeah. Yes, yeah. I think it was that when it was the Dead Files episode that was called The Aftermath. And our episode was called Back to Attachments. But yeah, we were confused about, we thought the family that was on the show was the owner of the house, and they were not. They were renting.
Yeah. I will say right away, I did notice foreshadowing when Matt was doing his walkthrough and there was dream catchers on the wall. And I noticed that. I'm like, ooh, this, because they don't usually show those types of things being cleared. Mm-hmm. It's usually just like photos or, but I thought that was very interesting. And so immediately I was like, oh, I wonder if there's something about, you know, tied to that. And there was.
Mm-hmm. So that's why they left that in there. That's a good point. I noticed that too. And I was like, oh, Dreamweaver. Yeah, that could. Because I would think Amy would be able to, like, she'd see that and at first be like, oh, I bet you these people are having bad dreams.
Yeah.
And she would already know that before.
I'm glad that he took it down. Yeah. I for sure think that.
Yeah.
I like Matt Bald. I just think he's cute.
Yeah, he's cute bald. I didn't like that haircut where everything was like, it looked like somebody's blew a leaf blower on the back of his head and all the hair came to the front.
Yeah. It makes him look so young when he has hair. It's like like not cute young, like boyish young. Like, where's your mother? Like, where are you? What's your curfew? Do you have a license young?
Yeah.
So
he's a cutie either way, but I do like it. Oh, I do like
love,
him bald.
I love a bald man. So
Yeah. I was a little worried about you. Watching this one, I was going to give you a warning, but then I thought, oh, maybe that'll just upset her even more, because I know you have a tendency to have really horrible dreams, and I was like, oh, is she going to have a problem watching this? But
I actually was it actually allowed me to relate to them.
Oh, good. Okay.
Like I was not that I don't see them as relatable other seasons.
Yeah.
But like when you have a connection with them, that helps. So I was like, it actually endeared me to them even more, which I didn't think was possible because they were so sweet.
Yeah.
Her and her daughter.
Yeah.
I really, really, really felt for them. Like they're going through it.
Yeah.
So.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Everybody in that house was.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Once I got on the right episode. Good thing I texted you earlier today because
Megan was watching the show and she's like, are you sure we haven't covered this one already?
Yeah.
She's talking about people coming out of the walls.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think you're watching the wrong one.
Yeah. Amy's like, we did cover that, you idiot. She didn't say that, but I'm assuming it was going through her mind. No, she didn't think
that. No, I was just like, how did she find that one instead?
Magic. And Amy's like, nope, wrong episode, wrong one. And I had thankfully I had just started watching it, so I was able to. It's not like I'd spent 2 hours watching it,
right?
So,
well, I hope not, because it's only an hour long.
Well, Before, I mean, when we first started, it would take me about 2 hours because I had to write every fucking thought I had down.
Yeah.
Thank God we changed the format because we now it's literally like the time of an episode.
Oh, yeah. I have to watch it one time to create the transcript.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and if I have thoughts at the moment, I will put them in then. But I always watch it one more time and read the transcript and then put my my notes in, like the same way that you guys do.
Yeah.
Which I should mention, it's just Megan and I today.
Yes.
AP is, there's a very important sports ball game on this evening.
Yes.
And so she is unable to record while that game is on. She's watching the game instead. Mm-hmm. So.
And I happen to have the day off. And so we are recording very early. It is 2:15 p.m.
Yeah. And why didn't we ask Amy to record with us? Because she's at work.
She's working.
She's working today. She's a working lady today.
She is she's bringing home the bacon to our podcast family.
Yes. I wish she was bringing home bacon to my frying pan also. That sounds dirty. I don't.
Real bacon. And none of this flimsy, flaccid cooked bacon. I mean, crispy bacon all the way.
I like it crispy, too. I don't like it so much that it, like, crumbles when you bite into it.
Oh,
but I do like it crispy.
Oh, I love it like that.
Really?
Yeah. That's all the crispier, the better.
That's the best way to have it on a sandwich.
If
otherwise,
it's even burnt. Like, I'll take burnt bacon.
I don't like the burnt bacon grease taste. But
burnt bacon.
Anyway, do you guys see how we can get off on tangents so easily?
But we don't have ADHD.
Not at all. Mm-mm.
No. Also, fun to know, we have another one that wrecked the marriage.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep, this is another wrecked marriage. Paranormal marriage wrecker. Put that on your...
Put that on your bingo. Your bingo card.
Okay, so Slaughters, Kentucky. Steve calls it a tiny town with a strange name. And it's 2 hours north of Nashville.
Nashville is in Tennessee.
Tennessee. Are they that close?
I mean, Tennessee is not a very wide country. City. State.
Right. That's true.
Whatever it is, whatever part of geography it is, it's not very wide.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. AP looked this up and she said that it was named after Augustus Slaughter, who won the right to name it after winning a card game. And she shot us a link for that. And I'll put that in the show notes if you guys want to read more about that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. AP and I liked Amy's hair in this one with the purple on the lower part.
She's so awesome.
I know. Her hair's cute like that. I kind of want to do that to my hair. Then we discover what they've been talking about. You know, Steve gets in and meets Holly, the homeowner. And
she is sweet as a button.
She's sweet.
You know how some people are like, I just like, this is crap. And I want to, you know, and you can kind of feel like they're doing it to be on TV or whatever.
Yeah.
She just tore at my heartstrings because she's just like beaten down.
Yeah.
There's no emotion in her voice. She's just defeated.
Yeah, and she was like, I'm just tired. And I can't keep protecting everybody. And I think this ever came up in the episode, but she does have abilities.
Oh.
She is now, anyway, I don't think she was at the time, but now she's a medium.
Really?
And she's the one that went over to Randy's place.
Wow.
Yeah, Randy is one of the clients, one of our first clients that we ever interviewed
way back in the day.
Yeah. And
we both
had shorter hair.
Well, my hair's short again, but yours is not short.
Mine's one of the longest.
It's very long. I don't know how long it's been since I've seen you with that hair.
Yeah, but it's been a while. Anyway, she does have abilities. And at the end, I have an update from Holly about what happened afterwards and what's going on now.
Love a good update.
Yep. So I'll fill you in more on that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We are hearing voices, shadow figures, I said all that, you know, and that's basic. You know, a lot of times that's the list of shit that we see.
Yeah.
Holly does have a husband who they are separated, estranged, I assume. He does not live there at the time of this filming. And I don't know the status of that. I do not think that they're together. I looked at her Facebook page and I didn't see anything about them.
And they even addressed that in the episode.
Yeah.
And I think there's too much damage that's been done.
Yeah. Yeah, because Steve did ask if we could get all this taken care of and stuff, would you want to be back together with him? And she's like, I don't know. He's the love of my life. But, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of things were said and some hurtful things happened and stuff. So, yeah.
And especially if what Amy saw really happened.
Yeah.
I don't know if that could be mended either.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and because he had experiences, but still would not validate her experience with mm-hmm. what she has seen.
Yeah.
And that's...
Who does that sound like?
Yeah. It does sound like somebody that we know. So there's that. Steve tries to come up with other alternatives for what might be making these noises. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's not the dogs, Steve.
It's not the dogs, Steve.
It's never the dogs.
You boozing? So. You on pills? You boozing?
He didn't ask anybody if they were boozing this time. That's surprising. Grab the bingo card that doesn't have that on it if you want to win.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. We're still on Holly. She has these stabbing stomach pains, and she said it's in her right side. So that is not the appendix side, right? Your appendix is on your left.
Yeah, I think your appendix is left.
Yeah. So it wouldn't, because that was my first thought is, was this an appendix pain? But if your appendix is bothering you, it's going to bother you for about a day before you're dead. It's not something that's going to keep happening repeatedly over and over again anyway.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Well, once your appendix goes, you have to have surgery immediately.
Well, yeah. I mean, if your appendix burst, but I feel like it would hurt before.
It hurts for a few hours before. Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's not going to be days and days. I mean, if it is, then it's going very slowly, but, but then it's right about to burst. Because when Greg's went, it was like 10:30 at night when he was like, what side is your appendix on? And I'm like, the left. He's like, uh-oh.
Well,
and so we went into the ER and they said, yep, it's your appendix. And they had to call a doctor in who was on off, you know, uh-huh. on call or whatever.
Yeah.
4 o'clock in the morning, he had his surgery.
My God.
Got it out.
Oh.
And it was just about to erupt.
Wow. That's scary.
Explode. Whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Everything's, I did notice, I think it's something evil to my, again, I've said this before, but like everything is evil to people. Even me, like my guy that I didn't know, I thought was evil because we fear what we don't know. And so most times I feel like it's not evil. This time happened to be, but like Frank, my spirit wasn't evil. He was actually mm-hmm. looking out for me, but it's just, you know. It's just such a cliche thing. Like it's evil. It's trying to kill us. It's taking away, you know.
Well, we fear what we don't understand.
Exactly. So right.
That's what it is. Yeah. Amy, she says that she is feeling dizzy and nauseous too. Mm-hmm. And then she says there's no ground here at all. I feel like the living, if they spend time in this area, would become extremely depressed. And she says they would lose time in here.
Ooh.
And that's the thing here. It's like dreams and reality. There's no line here. It's a very bad space. She said there was no ground. So like she did describe it later as a vast hole that was on the property. And I think that was outside, wasn't it?
Yeah, I got that it was outside.
Yeah.
Because she even when she was in the reveal talking about that, she said, and then I went outside.
Yeah.
And I discovered this hole that had been there since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wonder how she knows that. Like, can she feel it? Or, like, what are her indications that something is that old? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know for sure, but I would assume that her guides are helping her with that.
True.
And they probably are, you know, they're at a higher plane mm-hmm. and they know more. Than we would. And so they're probably like, that's been
true.
Around here forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. In the master bedroom, they see, Holly sees the shadow figure humped over the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And no, that's scary.
And every time Steve talks, it sounds, how do you sleep? It's like, they fucking don't.
They don't sleep.
Every question, every episode, he's asking that. Well, how do they sleep?
Yeah.
How do you sleep? You don't. I don't.
You don't.
Because no. either
I think he knows that's the answer. I think right. he's just being like, oh my gosh, how do you deal with that?
Maybe it's a rhetorical question.
Yeah. I think he doesn't really want you to answer, how do I deal with that? I think your answer is going to be like,
well, I take seven Tylenol PM, Steve, and I fucking hope for the best.
I'm boozing. That's what it is.
I'm pills. I got my pills.
I'm boozing.
I'm knocked out. The cats are walking on me. The dogs are barking. It's chaos.
Right. Oh, and one of the times this shadow figure looks a little like her husband.
Which absolutely not.
Mimics are
terrifying.
Creepola.
I would rather deal with a spirit than a mimic any day of the week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Any day of the
mimic
week.
Mimic or a doppelganger. They're scary. Or no, child ghosts.
I don't wanna. No. This is what happens when we record at 2:30 instead of 9 at night.
Yeah.
Megan's energy level is here.
Yeah, it's a little higher.
Sorry,
I did
everybody.
Have coffee a little while ago.
I've only had one cup today.
I had one and then I made another one and then I didn't want it, which happens all the time. I'm like, that first cup was so damn good. I make another one and then I'm like, I don't really want this.
The first sip of coffee just hits differently.
Yeah.
I think in heaven or whatever spiritual area you believe in, every cup of coffee is going to have that first sip taste to it.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
So the thing that Amy sees that aside from this vast hole, she describes it as a cross between a little dragon and a gargoyle.
No thanks.
But with long spider arms.
Goodbye.
I was like, I cannot wait to see this.
I know. As soon as she described it, I'm like, well, that's going to be the sketch because.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. We ended up having two sketches. Which was nice. And I know we'll get to that spot when we talk about it, but I really like the art. That artist was very good.
Okay. I literally just had the thought that the artist was very good, but I didn't want to say it because we weren't there. But this artist was
very good.
That's
okay. We can jump around. Yeah.
Jump around. She was very good. Yes. And then she's talking about how it crawls on the ceiling.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I could feel it crawling on me when she said that. I don't know how she sees these things that she sees and doesn't just go batshit crazy from seeing all this.
Well, she's been doing it for a long time. She's probably it's just
Tuesday. She has her guides to help her.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So the little boy, Ryan, he's 11.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He sees a guy that died that came out of the wall and he had a hat on. Mm-hmm. And he said he was dark. He was black, meaning you couldn't see through him.
Yeah. Not like African American.
Right. And then Steve asked if it was a dream and he said no. So
I just wanted to hug everybody in this episode. And like you could tell when Steve was interviewing Ryan that he was just, they're all just fed, like they're done. The fight has gone out of every single one of them.
Yeah.
And that's like when she talked to Tila, when he talked to Holly, when he's talking to Ryan, it's just they're all.
Yeah.
The fight's gone. Like they've given up because they're so exhausted from it. And I just felt so bad for him.
Yeah.
For all of them.
Yeah. We also talked to Holly's friend, Frank, who is not a boyfriend. I know. I was like, Steve is dubious. And
so are we.
I think I maybe was. I don't think anymore because I think I found him on her Facebook page. I think they're just friends. I'm not saying there was never anything going on. Right. Anyway.
And maybe we're just too cynical.
I know.
I think that's probably it. Interviewing him, he seemed like a very nice man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really think and I thought it was funny where Steve was like, you guys have been friends for a long time. And Frank's like, 6 years. I'm like, that's not that long to me.
It's not that long.
Like Amy and I have been friends for 10.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, my God. 10
years.
But anyways, so I just thought that was interesting when he said that. I was like, yeah, we've been friends for 20 years, not six.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, Frank has chest pains that he never had before he moved in.
Mm-hmm.
And he feels like it's a stabbing. And then Steve relates that to Holly's stabbing in her stomach, which I don't think it's the same. But and then at one point, Frank says, I've been pushed down the stairs once. I swear to God, I could see a twinkle in Steve's eye. He was like, oh, we got it. I love a good pushing down the stairs.
We love violence. Yes.
And then, of course, he has to say, you know, you could have been killed because he has to bring out that old chestnut.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was funny when it was like, oh, yeah, by the way, I've actually been pushed down the stairs. It's like an off, like, oh, my God. Yeah, actually, there is another thing, this horrible thing.
That he's seen the show before. He knew Steve would get all jazzed about that.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm not saying he wasn't pushed down the stairs. I'm just
now that you say it.
Yeah,
I do. I was pushed down. Does that mean anything to you? Is that something you'd be interested in if I got pushed down the stairs?
How about if I told you?
What if I said?
Oh, I will say, I'm going to give Steve some props here. Mm-hmm. I loved his conversation with Tila, the mm-hmm. daughter.
I
thought he was so sweet to her, and he asked the right questions, and he was just sitting on the couch chatting with her, making her feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And you could tell she was terrified.
She's the worst of all. And yeah. I mean the worst emotionally. I don't
received
mean
the worst of the.
She's because she blames herself. She thinks that it's something she did.
Yes.
And I mean, this is the Steve that we know and love.
Yeah, right.
It's not you. You know, he's very empathetic towards her.
Right.
And that's what we love, you know, when we love Steve, when he's like, we're going to fix this, honey. I'm so sorry. And
yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
And she's like, I don't know what I did.
Yeah. And then she's like, I'd rather it take, you know, be me than my brother or my mom. She's almost like sacrificing herself to this thing. Like, I feel like that's where her mentality is like, if I'm the one that's done it, then I will sacrifice myself in whatever way that means. To keep my mom and my brother safe.
Yeah.
She was just, oh man, I just wanted to hug her.
Yeah.
I wanted to hug them all, except Frank. I didn't know him well, but.
We don't know Frank well enough to hug him. But
no, but Tila, for sure, I would hug
the girls.
Mush her little face.
And they did mention in the beginning when they showed the photo of everybody that Tila's fiance was living there, but they never spoke to him. They never interviewed him. We don't, he's just dust in the wind. So.
Well, if they did, it didn't make it.
That's true. It's quite possible they did interview him, and for whatever reason, it didn't make it to the
maybe
final.
He wasn't as compelling.
He didn't fall down any stairs.
He's like, sometimes I see shadow figures, and Steve's like, not enough. Next. Nope. Move along. Nope. Move it
shadow
along.
Figures, that's old news.
Did you trip? Did you almost die? No? Yeah. Then get out of here.
Yeah.
No pain. Stair falling. Gotta go.
Nope.
Mm-mm. No knives thrown at you? Mm-mm. Nope. We're done.
Nope.
And when Tila described what she saw crawling across her bed.
Oh, God. Yeah. It's like a deformed dog.
Yes.
With deformed legs or something like that.
Yeah.
And then
she's like,
reveal,
well, that must have scared the hell out of you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Steve.
In the reveal, they talk about that comes up. Amy describes this gargoyle thing with the spidery legs. And Tila's like, oh, God, I never thought to describe it like that. But that's the thing that I saw crawling around on my bed. Yikes.
I don't know if I would ever get back in that bed. No. I don't know.
No, I don't think I'd get back in that room.
No, but, I don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
So, let's see. Where am I? Oh.
And then when Tila talks about the man on top of her.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like sitting on her.
He's like laid on her. Yeah. She said, I lose my breath and it feels like a weight's on me. And I just know he's laying on top of me.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, you have sleep paralysis, which in and of itself is terrifying.
Yes.
In and of itself is you're like willing anything in your, like even your eyes to blink, like anything to move. But on top of that, to feel, no pun intended, like somebody is laying on you, this poor woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's terrifying.
Yes. Oh, and then, Steve is like, we'll get through this together. We'll figure something out.
Yeah.
That sounds like a plan. And she goes, that sounds like a really nice one.
Yeah. I know.
I need to hug her. Like I almost feel like all of them are just doing this because like somebody told them to. I don't feel like they can do anything only because they just feel so hopeless about the situation.
Yeah.
Like they've just, like we've said, they've just given up. Like they're resigned.
Yeah.
And that's what's so sad about it is like they just have no fight left.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and if we know anything about the process, we know that once somebody reaches out for help, it can be a year before Amy and Steve get there. So they may have asked for help a year ago and they're still, it's gotten worse this whole time and they're just at the end of their rope.
Especially because this is a later season. This is season 9.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the wait time would have been much greater, like you just said.
Yeah.
Well, actually.
The wait time usually probably is longer as they get further on. I think in the beginning when they didn't have a lot of people dialing them up, they were able to run out there pretty quickly.
Elvis.
Yeah.
Here's my dandelion.
Here's my dandelion jar.
It's the last one of the season.
Oh my God. I think for our very last episode when we decide to hang this shit up, we should recap that one again.
Yes.
That was our full first circle. One. That should be our last.
Yeah.
And then we'll do Brittany again too.
Oh God. When Amy mentioned the A word, I got really excited for you.
I know.
I was like, well, I know that Amy
Allen. I know that Amy Allen hates aliens. Like she, I shouldn't say hates aliens, but she's really scared of cases where there's an alien. She doesn't really understand them all that well. She doesn't really want to, from what I understand. And so I like those episodes just because it's different, you know. It's not it's not just, you know, ghost of a guy who owned the property and he was a dickhead, you know. So I think
it kind of unnerves her.
Yeah. And not that I like to see her distressed, but it adds a lot more interest or more different than what we normally see. And she thinks that this is a possession. And she says, like, but like a demon, but it's like an alien type possession. And it's possibly an experiment.
I hate that. No, thank you.
No, that's very creepy. That's very creepy. So I understood, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think everything that they experienced was connected back to the alien and the hole from which the alien came.
Yes.
Or aliens. Maybe it's not the same alien. But I didn't recall them saying that anything that the people witnessed or that Amy saw had anything to do with any of this information that Steve got in town.
That's what I got too.
Okay.
I got that the only, well, I shouldn't say only, but like the issue is that the gargoyle dragon alien thing.
Yeah.
Because she didn't really talk about any other spirits. The only one she talked about was the guy from the war who we find out is Holly's dad.
Right.
But other than, like, normally she's like, there's a spirit here and there's spirits here and, you know, in this room. And the only thing she talked about was this gargoyle dragonfly thing, which I hate that combination. So gross.
Yeah. Oh, not dragonfly, though. Dragon.
Dragon. Sorry. Yeah. Dragon.
Yes. Dragonfly might be kind of cute.
No. Dragonflies are kind of
cute. I know they're weird, but they're kind of cute. They're pretty colors.
That's true. So yeah, that was another interesting thing because I don't know if we've ever had an episode with just aliens in it.
Right. I don't think so either. Well, no.
Because we've had aliens.
Yes.
But it hasn't only been them.
I think there is an episode, but I don't think we've covered it yet.
Oh.
It's one where a father and son keep getting abducted.
No, we did cover that
one. Did we do that one? Okay.
Yep.
I don't remember there being any other beings in that one. Maybe there were, and I just I don't know.
Well,
the aliens overshadowed it for me.
I don't know if you've caught on by now, listeners, but my memory is not the greatest. So we'll rely on Amy.
Oh, I don't know.
For this one.
I can. Thank you for listening. The Activity Continues. We'll be back after this short break. Hi, all. I'm sure you have heard our ads for Wantable in the past few months. Both Amy P. and Megan have told you what they like about it, but now it's my turn. A friend and I were talking about Wantable the other day, and she said, it sounds interesting, but I'm so picky about clothes because I hate the styles I'm seeing lately. I told her that I felt that Wantable was made specifically for those who feel like this. First of all, you tell them exactly what you like. You can look at all these pictures on their website and go, I like this, I don't like that, never send me animal prints. And they actually have a real person picking out the clothes based on your preferences. They send all the items to you, and if you don't like any of it, you just put it back in the bag and send it back. I do suggest trying everything on, even if you don't think you'll like it, because I have found many items where I was like, ew, when I pulled it out of the bag, but once I tried it on, I loved it. So I don't recommend rejecting things right away. I also recommend taking some photos or videos of yourself, trying them on, and then a day later go back, rewatch, and then try things on again. You may change your mind. I have. But if you do send it all back, they'll just send you another bag of items to try. When you send something back, they give you an opportunity to say why you didn't like it, and I highly recommend you take the time to tell them. So, like my first bag, they sent me stuff that made me look like I'm going on a cruise ship for senior citizens, and I told them that. So I also recommend being really specific in your comments. Don't be afraid to say, I don't like the cut of this, this one made my boobs look too big, etc. My last reason for loving this way of shopping is that I don't like going to the store and trying on things. Almost nothing looks good on me that way. But I like to do it at home, and then I can mix and match with things that I already own. I can say, oh, I love this scarf, and it matches that dress I have, so I'm going to keep that. Now, Wantable isn't cheap, so think of it as a special treat for yourself. My co-host AP does this. Every once in a while, she'll get a box just to celebrate a win or something. So I wouldn't do it every month, but it's fun to get a giant bag of clothes and pull them all out and be like, that's ugly, that's cute. And if you use our promo code, The Activity Continues, you get $25 off whatever items you keep. So jump on this if you're ready to buy your new favorite clothing. Happy shopping. And don't forget, use the promo code The Activity Continues for $25 off your first order.
Dig into the archives.
So let's talk a little about the history, even though it didn't actually connect to any of the spirits in the house, because it was interesting.
Yeah.
So Steve goes to talk to Mandy O'Leary, and she is a genealogist.
Not a gynecologist.
That's right.
If you don't get that joke, you should go back and listen to one of our first episodes.
You must be new here.
You must be new here. Hi, are you new here?
An old joke. So Mandy tells them about Sally and AJ Couch, who bought the property in 1910. And they had a child who passed away. Then they had four daughters. That was
at
a son.
1 year. He was little.
Yeah. And they don't say why or how. I'm assuming it was some type of...
1910. Yeah. So like pick anything.
I know they get a cough and they die.
Yeah. He coughed and died. Fell out of bed and broke his arm and died.
Didn't have medical care. They didn't know what anything was. Yeah, a lot of people died early back then. So then, AJ, the father, died at 63 with an inflamed heart, and then his whole family had heart problems. Mm-hmm. And then Amy found us a link. AP found us a link about family history and heart disease. So I'll put that in the show notes too. If anybody wants to read up on that. And
for some light reading.
Yeah, just a little in case you're interested.
Heartfoundation.org.
Right.
As we all are known to peruse.
That's right. Actually, I'd be afraid to, because when I read stuff like that, then I'm like, oh, I'm feeling that tight pain in my chest.
It's like when you Google your symptoms and WebMD is like, well, you're actually dead.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you Google
this. Can't believe you can even read this right now.
I know. You're dead.
Yeah. I try not to do that.
No.
And then they had another daughter in 1938. Mm-hmm. Her daughter's name is Lockie, which I thought was interesting. She died.
That's got to be a nickname.
Well, it says
actually, no,
Lockie
it's not.
On her birth certificate. Or death certificate, sorry. It said she died of a hysterectomy, which isn't... She died from complications of a hysterectomy.
Yeah. She died on the surgery table. Yeah. So.
And and then in the death certificate, it said a fibroid uterus, which isn't fatal.
No.
So I'm guessing that she was having a hysterectomy and something went wrong. They nicked something or they couldn't close it up in time.
Did they ask her husband if she could have the hysterectomy?
Oh.
Did they get his permission?
They must have.
Because he might want more kids.
That's right.
So I hope they talk to a man about it.
Yeah, it probably was. Well, she was 40, so she probably had all the kids she was going to, if she had any at all.
I mean, this is 1930s. Like, that's all she was good for,
yeah,
was kids.
So she was past her kid having days.
Yeah.
To them.
Yeah.
Is my guess. But so yeah, I'm like, guessing
whatever,
that.
Put her in the hospital from hysteria. I don't care what you do with her. I can't.
Yeah. She's done.
She's done.
Well, she has to still raise the kids because he's not going to.
True. Sure. I forgot about that.
I tried to look up these people and I saw. I mean, Couch is a weird last name. I looked up Sally Couch. I looked up AJ Couch. I don't know what AJ stands for. Mm-hmm. They didn't zoom in on AJ's death certificate enough for me to read it. It looked like his first name was Perry, P-A-R-R-I-E, or Paris, maybe?
Yeah.
Jefferson. But that has to be an A. It just looks like a P.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Arnie? Arnia? I don't know. It's weird. It's
no,
hard.
That I'll, looks like a P. I don't know.
It does look like a P, but if his name was AJ, how could it be the J is
well,
the
maybe
Jefferson?
He...
Anyway, I could not find anything more about these people.
Yeah.
And then in 1947, Sally herself died. And they have her name
How
spelled...
did she die, Amy?
Oh, she died of a heart attack.
No. She died of a heart attack.
Heart attack. Or she flipped her vet.
She flipped her vet. Drag racing down the That's freeway. Right. I don't know what you where you drag race.
Her death certificate says coronary thrombosis. Coronary thrombosis.
Thrombosis.
So, let's see. Then, okay, now we're down to Gaga. Okay, so then she speaks to Steve Bagby, who is a former cop and now true crime writer. And I noticed that
Steves.
There are sure a lot of Steves, yeah, in this segment. We have Steve. Okay, so this is where I was very confused.
Okay, let me see if I can help you. I doubt
the
it,
man,
but I'll give it the old college check.
The man says, and what it said in the closed captions on the show, Stephen Osborne Kaufman. Inherited the property around 1896. Then I thought he was saying, it sounded to me like he was saying Steve and Osborne Kaufman, but that's not what the closed caption said. So I went with it. I found a Stephen A. Kaufman, but he was married to a Mary Ella, not an Osborne. And then I was like, or Stephen and Osborne brothers. And I tried to look that up, trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure that out at all. But at any rate, we'll keep plodding along here. We do
it looks
have
like
an answer.
AP found it.
She did. We do have an answer. But so there was a homicide where it said that the Steve Bagby says it involved Oz's son, William. Who's 22 years old. He comes, he gets in a bar fight in Tennessee and he gets shot by a man named William Morrison. And the Kaufman boy goes down and dies. That would be William.
Yeah.
Is shot by William.
So William Morrison
shoots
William, who's Oz's son, who I assume Oz is Osborne, who is Stephen's brother.
Right. Last name Kaufman.
Steve. So William Kaufman was shot by William Morrison.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Here we go. We're there.
Here we go.
We got so, it.
And then AP did find a couple of articles about the trial. I have not read them yet, but I will put those in the show notes and we can read them. Morrison gets convicted and then he escapes after 2 years of serving time. And he stays a fugitive for 17 to 18 years.
Which is
and then we never talk
because
about
that's like his whole life.
Yeah. Well, we never like he stays a fugitive. And then what happened? Was he caught or did he die? You know, he was a fugitive for 17 or 18 years, but we don't know what ended his fugitivity.
I think that's right.
So then there were two murders, and this murder involved, this was Stephen's son, whose name was William.
Oh, Lord.
And so there's only one Stephen in the story, but it's being told by Steve Bagby to Steve DeShavi. So that's where I was like, that's a lot of Steves. And then we got
a lot of Williams.
We got three Williams and three Steves. But anyway, so this is where I was like, what? Okay, hold the phone. I don't get what's going on here. Who are they? Two people? And yeah, it turns out they were two people. I'm going to grab my notes from Amy, who AP, who looked this up. And I can't, now I have to scroll back 49 pages in our chat where she said, okay, you know what? I will find it and I will just do a voiceover later and patch that in. Pardon the interruption, but I'm just going to fill you in on some stuff that AP found. She ended up going to MyHeritage and she just started a free trial so she could get this info for us. So we're grateful for her for doing that. It is indeed Stephen and Osborne, two different people, brothers. Stephen A. Kaufman was born in 1849, and Osborne Lee Kaufman was born in 1854. Stephen had 10 children. Osborne had 9. According to the screenshots that she sent me, it looks like Osborne married his sister, Sarah. She shows up as both his wife and his sibling. In one place, she is listed as Sarah Frances Tapp, and then in parentheses, born Kaufman. And in another place, it says she is Sarah Frances Kaufman, in parentheses, born Tapp. So maybe just someone just goofed on the record keeping. She and I both looked a little bit today, a couple days after the recording while I was editing, and did not find anything other than that. It was, she did find a Sally Frances Kaufman, but she was born the year before Stephen was born, the oldest brother. So that would have made her pretty old for Osborne. Also, this was from Find a Grave where Amy found that. And it does show that this Sarah or Sally Frances was actually married to somebody named James Markham Kaufman from 1845 to 1925. So I don't believe this can be Osborne's wife because she's somebody else's wife. Not that she couldn't be both, but this was over the time period that she would have been married to the other guy if this was her. And her parents are not the same parents of Stephen and Osborne, so she can't be their sister either. So I don't think it's her. Anyway, they both had sons named William, but it is Osborne's son who was murdered, as stated in the show. William D. Kaufman, that is the son of Osborne, was born in 1877. And William Kaufman, son of Stephen, we don't have a DOB, date of birth. We don't have a middle name either. So that's what we found. It is two people. So it would have been nice if Dead Files production crew would have kind of cleaned that up a little bit. And the closed captioning gave it Stephen Osborne as if it was one person. So that's why we were confused. I hope that we cleared that up for you. Okay, so that's where all that happens. And then, so the guy that shot somebody named Paul is who killed William.
Yeah, well, William was Paul killed Campbell. By Paul.
Paul Campbell. And then he gets away with murder because they bring it to the grand jury and they render a no bill. He's not convicted.
I've never heard of that before.
I came across it when I was doing research for my other podcast, Volstead Land. Mm-hmm. This apparently happened a lot in the 20s, 30s. And it is, this is a quote from the Googs. A no bill is a legal term that refers to a grand jury's decision not to indict a defendant, meaning they believe there is not enough evidence to proceed with criminal charges against them, and the case will not go to trial. Essentially, it's a decision by the grand jury not to issue a formal indictment against a suspect due to insufficient evidence, which I think we just call it something else now. I don't know what we call it, but it's not that.
I wonder if that means, like, could they bring charges against him later? If they find evidence, or is that like double jeopardy where if they've decided to not do anything, they can't do it again?
No, I think they can do it again. If they find evidence, they can, because I think double jeopardy is only when you have been acquitted. when there's been a trial and you've been acquitted, you cannot.
Yeah, yeah. So like OJ could have openly admitted to killing Nicole and Ron and they couldn't have done anything.
Which he did, basically.
No. He said if.
And then he said
he had done
it was my alter ego or whatever. My evil twin. I don't know.
Okay, George. He was a fucking. I'm so glad he's dead. Sorry. He didn't really bring much to the
world.
Well,
he brought
world.
Entertainment in a couple different ways.
But, yeah, there's that.
Yeah. So anyway, neither of those cases had any justice is what basically what we're at.
And they didn't really come up again.
Well, they didn't connect to anything that was going on in the house. So it didn't really matter.
They didn't.
It was just like sort of interesting town stories. It really had nothing to do with Holly's house.
I think they just needed to fill up some time.
Yeah. I don't, which is dumb. They probably had 5,000 hours of
thing.
They could have just done more on that stuff Amy saw. I'm sure they cut some of that. So Amy, then this is where Amy meets the World War II guy. Mm-hmm. And she says, I get that he was a World War II vet. Somebody says that he met with an unfortunate accident.
That's my memoir.
Yeah. Or the title of your sex tape. If you watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
No, I don't.
Oh, you should watch it. You'd like it.
I sure
would like it. Because it's got a little bit of crime stuff in there, too. Because you know they're cops.
And it's got Terry, what's his
name? Terry Crews.
Yes.
Oh, my God. And he talks about himself in the third person. Terry doesn't like
that. I love him.
I do, too.
I love
him. You would love the show, Megan. You would love it.
I know. I've seen clips of it, and it looks really funny.
It's hilarious.
I think that Terry's a really good person. Like, that's the vibe that I get from him.
I do, too.
Is that he's like, I mean, I think he married his sweetheart, or high school sweetheart.
Really?
He's talked about how he was sexually assaulted in Hollywood.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. I think it was when he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's awful.
Anyway, bringing us down.
Anyway.
So the World War II event.
World War II guy,
accident.
Yeah, so she says he's been trying to warn people about the hole and the gargoyle thing. And he said it was just ended up being a waste of his time and a waste of his energy. And it made him sick. So he stopped and he doesn't bother anymore. And then Amy says, he's like, trust me, people got the blank message. They just didn't bother to listen to it.
He's like, I'm doing all of this work.
And nobody
and going across dimensions to give you this fucking message.
Yeah.
God damn it.
So then Steve goes out and meets Frankie Springfield, the local sheriff. And he tells us about a story about another guy named William McGarry.
Is this the guy that had the short gray hair and like the glasses, the spectacles?
I think so. I don't really remember what he looked like.
I know. I don't know.
So they talk about where they went to this guy, Henry Gooch's house, and he had gotten a warrant for disturbing the peace. And then Gooch's kid, Jody, came out and shot both the lawmen. And one of them died right away, but the other one ran off. And
Gooch, I feel like Gooch is a nickname.
It said it was their last name.
I get, but it's like, whose last name is Gooch?
I know. It does sound like a nickname.
Like, hey, I'm Mr. Gooch.
Yeah.
It's just a funny name.
Yeah.
Anyways, sorry.
Well, one of the guys he shot in the eye, which made me think of Christmas Story.
That's not how Frankie worded it, Amy. What did Frankie say?
He said he had an eye put out.
Yeah. I'm like, that is a weird way to say that.
Yeah. Because a lot of times they do say,
yeah, you'll shoot your eye out.
Or
you'll shoot your eye out.
Yep. So, Mr. Ashby, he went to a coma and died. I don't even remember reading this.
He's the other cop.
The other cop didn't die right away either?
Yeah, Deputy Lorenzo Ashby and Town Marshal William McGarry.
Yeah, okay. I thought one guy died on the scene and then McGarry ran off with a bullet hole in his eye. The partner, Mr. Ashby, he went to a coma and lingered around for a few days, and then he died.
So neither one of them died at the scene.
Apparently not yet.
No. What's his name? Lorenzo is the one who got up. Nope, Lorenzo. So William, the marshal, got up and ran away.
Yeah.
Lorenzo was down at the scene, went into a coma, and died later.
Got it. Okay.
Is what I'm taking from it.
Yeah.
Now, who's Ren Ashby? Because that... Oh, Lorenzo. Okay,
Lorenzo.
There it is.
Yeah.
Sorry. I got confused.
Yeah, no, that's all right. Well, in one place, it's spelled W-R-E-N. And then I think in another place, it's spelled R-E-N. I don't know. Anyway, mm-hmm. back then the town was called Slaughtersville, not Slaughters. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I had put that in our notes, and Amy commented back, and because she did watch the episode and read notes and, yeah. you know, find stuff for us. And she said, that's because the guy who got to name it, they always just add a ville or a ton or a town to your last name. And now you have a new town name. Mm-hmm. The activity continues, Ville. And then she said, I'll see myself out.
I don't know. I like continues ton better.
Continues ton. Uh-huh.
The activity continues ton.
Sure. We'll see. You guys can vote.
So Jody's on the loose.
Jody's on the loose. He gets arrested. The town seeks revenge. Henry Gooch was, this is a, one another one of these parts of the story that I thought was very confusing. Henry Gooch, who's the dad of Jody, was found on the south end of town in Slaughters with his head blowed off, probably with a shotgun.
Probably. Yep.
And
I remember
then
that.
We figure that William McGarry, who is the one that got it in the eye,
yep.
town marshal, that he's the one that shot him. He goes to trial but was found not guilty. Probably because he was just revenging, you know, being shot in the face himself.
Right. Right.
Jody was found guilty of and convicted of manslaughter, sentenced to 8 years, but then a few years later was pardoned by the governor and released in 1902.
Yeah.
So he only served 3 years for the whole thing.
Yep.
So he leaves Slaughter and never comes back. And apparently his dad was told also leave Slaughter and never come back. And he didn't. And he, that's why he was shot. And I was like, don't the Gooches live in Slaughter? How are they supposed to stay out of town? I mean, that's where you live. So I don't know. I thought it was a confusing.
I think they meant to move
yeah,
out of town.
I guess.
Get out. Yeah.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah. Get the fuck out.
Get the fuck out. Yeah. Anyway, so then we
that
go
was
back.
Not a, that was a very confusing segment.
Yeah. I thought both of the history stories were pretty confusing. Yeah. And maybe the people that were editing it were like, who gives a fuck? It didn't have anything to do with the actual haunting. So.
And that's the thing, too, is why, because usually when we hear this stuff and it's confusing in the moment, it's all tied together in the reveal. But this wasn't.
No.
So it's like we threw this in, we confused the hell out of you, and then bye.
Yeah.
Like that's, yeah.
Yeah, it was weird.
Mm-hmm.
I liked this episode, but that was weird.
I did like this episode.
To have all of that history.
It was just fluff.
Didn't tie back at all.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I didn't like that.
So the sketch, Amy talks, she meets with a sketch artist, and she describes the dragon gargoyle thing. Mm-hmm. It was coming out of the darkness. It has bulbous eyes, daddy long leg arms, and it was like crawling down the closet. And then there's a creature that's possessing a living woman. And this person, her bones, everything was turning black. Her heart has turned fully black. And they have an evil smile.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're at the reveal, which we don't really need to get into too much of this because we've talked about most of this already.
Yeah.
But Amy talks about the different people, the gargoyle thing, and then the man who was in his 40s, he was screaming at her. This is what Amy saw, what I think was Holly and Sean fighting.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's what I said in the beginning, where even if if they were able to move or fix it or whatever, that's when I said, I don't think they could get back Holly said, there's been too much going. There's been a lot said and done.
Yeah.
And that's what I was thinking of, because
when he was yelling at
that's
her.
Abuse.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, you know, and so that'd be a hard pill for her to swallow, I think.
Yeah. And Amy said the woman was crying and freaking out. And she said it was odd to me because I know that the man had experiences himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one segment that I really loved was when Amy was talking about Holly's dad.
Yeah. Yeah. That was nice.
Yeah. Because she mentioned, like, I got that he was a World War II vet and he died in an accident. And Steve was like, I didn't come across anybody in my research that was a World War II vet. And then that's when Holly just sort of like said very quietly, like, my dad was a World War II vet. And Steve was like, did he die in an accident? And she said, yeah, it was bad. And I don't quite understand what happened.
That accident?
Yeah. So her dad was.
Yeah, it was confusing to me
on the top of a tractor driving down the road. The man was joking around, swerving behind him. He hit the back of the tractor and went over the top of my dad. So to me, does that like the car hit it, went over the top of the tractor and like basically ran over her father in midair?
Yeah, it must be. It seemed to me like when I was trying to picture it, that if you were a car driving behind a tractor and you hit the tractor, maybe it just like did the whole car went over the tractor.
That's what it makes me think of.
And hit her dad who was driving it.
Because he hit the back of the tractor and went over top of my dad. That's the only explanation that makes sense of how her dad died.
Yeah.
Like you think hitting a tractor, the damage would be
to the car
and not the tractor, because a fucking tractor's, even if it's a little, like John Deere tractor, I mean, those things are like freaking solid, you know, metal.
Right. Well, now she didn't say what kind of tractor and she didn't say what kind of vehicle. She just said he was swerving behind him.
Yeah.
We are just assuming he was in a car.
Because she said joking
maybe
around,
he was in a
swerving behind
big truck.
Him, running. To me, that was, I don't know, this whole thing was...
I know it does. He obviously wasn't running on his two feet.
No.
And hit
but
the tractor.
It was just really poorly worded.
Yeah, it was strangely. Nobody knows how to tell a story in this episode. Just kidding. It's not that bad. But I think this might be a first for us when when Amy sees somebody and it ends up being somebody. I mean, I know there's been. I know we've had ones before where they see a ghost that is not something Steve found.
Mm-hmm.
But have we seen one before that's been somebody in the family? Like close family? I get like ancestors, yes, but like close family?
I don't recall
that. Anyway.
Hi, Amy again. I don't know what we were thinking. I don't know what I was thinking when I brought this up, because definitely we have had episodes where Amy sees a spirit in the house that is a family member. I remember there was one that was somebody's mother and she was trying to kill them. So definitely we've seen that. I don't know what I was on this day, but no, surely there have been episodes where a family member has been haunting the house and Amy has seen that.
I wonder when, I'm trying to see if I can find any information, but I wonder when he died, because she doesn't say when he died.
True.
She just says, I'm having a hard time forgiving the man that hit him.
Yeah.
Which, like, I don't blame you. Like,
yeah, because obviously he was dicking around.
Yeah.
It was a preventable accident.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, sorry.
Anyway, so then Amy then tells the family about this dark dragon gargoyle thing. And I liked when she said that it sounded like a cross between a little dragon and a gargoyle with a bit of spider.
I did not like that.
Which sounds to me like a terrifying lunch order. A little bit of spider on the side.
I'm really feeling some dragonfly, but God, I also want some spider.
Surely there's got to be a dish that will have both of those.
And then the person behind the counter was like, let me whip it up for you.
I got you.
Yeah.
Okay. So then Amy talks about how she had the sketch drawn of this gargoyle-y thing. And we see the sketch.
Which
is very well done.
Yes.
But very, very creepy. It has spider arms, but I wouldn't say it has spider legs.
No.
It looks more like a worm. It doesn't have legs at all.
And honestly, the spider arms almost looked more like insect arms to me.
Like, yeah. And like AP noted, she said it reminded her of the cooties game.
Yeah.
The cooties.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that too when I saw it. That's the first thing I thought too.
Yeah.
But they're weird. They're a little cuter. But,
they are very cute.
You know.
It almost looked like a praying mantis with their thing extended.
Yeah.
I did not get spider arm or spider leg, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so there's that. And then this, I just wanted to. Amy's talking about the dreams, and she says the dreams that you guys are having are, in fact, not really dreams at all. Mm-hmm. It's actually happening, but in a different dimension. They are taking you into their reality, and that's why they're so extremely vivid and frightening, because it's actually something that's happening. And I guess I'm just a little dubious on this. I don't understand how that's possible.
Yeah.
However, as I'm saying that, I'm thinking when she says takes you into their realm and that's why their dreams are so vivid, I wonder if it's the same as astral projection, where you can travel to a place without leaving your physical space.
Maybe.
Which I'm not saying I'm 100% sold on that, yeah. But I have been told that those dreams that I had about Scotland...
Mm-hmm. You were there.
Where I was flying around. I've been told that I was astral projecting.
Yeah.
And it felt really real. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know it was Scotland. I mean, I woke up and I was like, oh, apparently that's Scotland, but I don't know that Scotland looks like mm-hmm. that. Now I know Scotland does look like that, yeah. But I didn't know that before.
Yeah.
Or if I did, I forgot it.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I was just a little... And Steve wasn't buying any of it.
Right. No, he wasn't.
When Amy was talking about that, you could see Steve was like, all right, moving on.
No, I know. Steve is like, okay, like, let's move on with these.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe you.
I think he was dubious about a lot of this.
Dubious is a good word. Like, we should have a word of the day calendar, and dubious should be on that. I think.
All right. So then Steve talks about these guys, which really don't have anything to do with the story. No. Though he does. Amy says, do you think... Or Steve says, now, could these things be responsible for any of these deaths in history? He's really pulling at straws
He is grasping at straws here.
And she says, definitely a huge possibility, yeah. Which isn't a no, mm-hmm. but it's not exactly a yes right. either.
Yeah.
Then they talk about Tila's room, and that's when she, or Steve, I should say, whips out the other sketch and says, I don't even know if I want to show you this. I'm like, you have to. It's part of the deal, Steve.
I will say that sketch was, to me, creepier than the first one. Like, yeah. The second one is creepier.
Yeah. It's a lady sitting in a bed, and, like, the left half of her body, you can see through her clothing.
It's
and
bones.
It's just her bones and her heart and is all black.
All black, which is what Amy said was happening.
Yeah. It's, like, again, it really... Well done mm-hmm. sketch.
But
very
terrifying.
Good artist, but very scary.
Yeah.
Yep. And Amy says it's taking over your soul, but it's also affecting you physically and starting to strip you of your humanity, yeah. your personality, they're working toward making you kill yourself.
Yeah.
And of course, Holly, as a mother, is like, oh my God.
Right. Because it's attacking both of her children. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Tila really thinks it's her fault. But then, of course, Steve says, and this is not something that Tila did, right? And Amy's like, no.
Which she was so emphatic about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
She wasn't like, no. She's like, no, it for sure wasn't you.
Yeah.
And then Holly and Tila, I mean, it's just, Holly's like, I love you. It's not your fault.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's very
it
sweet.
It was so sweet.
So then Amy says, you really should move.
Right.
This has been here forever, and I think the best thing you can do is move. But in the meantime, get some religious items, put them all over the house, mm-hmm. carry them on yourselves, have them re-blessed every week. Once you vacate the property, you'll need an exorcism done by the religious person of your choosing. Mm-hmm. The second thing you have to do is have a series of 10 Reiki sessions, and this is to keep you balanced and grounded.
She said religious items. She didn't say Christian items or
right. like of whatever your belief.
Your belief, yeah. because it's all the yeah. same.
That's right.
None is better than the other.
That's right. Anyways. And Steve asks, what will happen if they don't do anything? And she says, oh, you'll probably die.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay.
What would happen? Oh, you know what, Steve? Honestly, nothing. It's, I mean.
Nothing. I'm just making shit up.
I just make shit up for the money.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
So we don't really believe that's what she's doing.
No. That's facetiousness.
In case you don't.
Word.
Aren't familiar with our
right.
sarcasm
In case
yet.
This is your first time here, welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome.
So she says the only way they can remain safe is to move as far away as possible. Holly says they will. Mm-hmm. Tila says they will. Mm-hmm. Get a religious leader to perform the exorcism on Tila. The only way they can remain safe is to move as far away as possible. If they do that and contact the religious leader, the Teela and her family can have the aliens behind and begin mm-hmm. a peaceful life somewhere new. Mm-hmm. The show ends. Holly and Teela are searching for a new home and the activity continues. But that is not the end of the story.
No.
So I posted in the Facebook group because Holly is a member.
Yeah.
And I said, we're doing this. Recording, we're doing this, your episode. Is there anything you want to tell people? And she said, we are still in the house. Uh-huh. It's been 8 years since Dead Files was here, and 2 weeks later, the house was cleared. However, it's been a constant upkeep since. It's nothing for me to sit in the living room and see something walk through the hallway or the game room. Though the evil is gone, there's still an awful lot lurking around or passing through at any given time. I thought that it was only my home at the time, but I was wrong. I bought the house next door in December of 2023, and we quickly found out we were starting from square one in that house all over again. Mm-hmm. And then she said, the people that lived there, when I moved here in 1998, the husband died in the house. This is the house next door that she bought.
Yeah.
Yeah. The wife stayed here for a couple of years and then moved. The house stayed vacant for about 3 years. And then these people that were minors, we were told, these people moved in, sorry, that were minors,
not,
we were told.
Not under 18. They were mining.
Not M-I-N-O-R, M-I-N-E-R, as in working the mines. Yep. They were barely ever there. There was like three men and a mentally challenged teenage boy. Then all of a sudden they were gone. Nobody knew them and they just left. They left a lot of stuff behind. Then the house was vacant for a long time again. Even the realtor would stop over and ask if we wanted to buy the place for $35,000. Mm-hmm. It's a big house, 1,960 square feet with almost an acre of land and a garage and all.
That's a lot of square footage. I mean, not
that's
a lot, but a decent.
That's a lot for $35,000.
Yeah, for $35,000.
Yeah, and land. Finally, a man bought the house for his son and family. It wasn't long before the fighting started. She finally left with the kids and he turned to drinking. His dad kicked him out because he went way downhill. Yeah. Then a single man moved in, said he was allowed to live there by the owner and kept coming over asking for rides. I found out he was a druggie and soon moved several of his friends in.
Yeesh.
Cops were called, fights happening. Finally, they were forced to leave.
Yeah.
Owner said the first one to come up with $25,000 can have it. So I bought it. I went to the courthouse, did some research on it. The house has never been sold for more than $28,000, and I can't find it before 1948.
Really?
But it's much older than that.
Really?
Even in 1948, it only mentions the property, not the house.
Yeah.
That makes me think that maybe they just built the house without getting any permits or anything.
Maybe. I mean, especially, you know, 1948... World War II just got over. People are coming home. I'm sure they did it. You know, they just built a house and started living there.
Holly then says, it sounds like they, or no, sorry, Jim then says, sounds like they might have been experiencing or at least influenced by the problems. What or who did you find there? And she said so many things. My daughter kept saying she was seeing things and doors were opening by themselves back last year at this time. Mm-hmm. I did a night walk. It's always a rule with me that they don't touch me. And I was touched twice during the walk. Mm-mm. And she's been working on this property for over a year.
Yeah. That she owns now.
Yeah, she now owns it.
I hope so. She's just like, I'm just going to come in your house at 3 a.m. and walk through
it. She bought it for $25,000.
Don't mind me. Well, no, this was a really, really good episode, you guys. I'm glad that they're doing better. I really fell for them. They were done.
Family.
You know, you could just tell they were so defeated. So I really hope that that they continue to do better.
Yeah. I hope they can get some fix that house next door too.
For sure.
That's the whole property. I mean, if there's that, I'd like to ask her more about that vast hole in the back on the property.
Yeah.
So if she wants to come on the show and talk about it, I think it would be fun to hear what she has to say about it.
Yeah, definitely. She was sweet.
If she wants
her.
To. Yeah. All right. All righty, Rue. All right. So thanks for joining us, everyone. That was a fun episode.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you for joining, everybody. We really appreciate it.
Yep. And we will see you next time. Next week will be a
an interview, won't it?
And yeah, next week will be a sideshow, which is going to be only on Patreon.
Yes.
But the week after that, yes, we are doing an interview with a woman named Beverly McChesney. Yes. Beverly has always been sensitive to the needs of others and to seeing truths that others might not see. Claircognizant as well as clairsentient, clairaudient, and a universal channel. She uses her abilities to offer clients around the world a myriad of psychic services. She spent her work career in politics and business before retiring. She's a Usui Reiki master teacher since 1998, graduate of several of the ancient mystery schools, and has attained a Bachelor of Science in parapsychic science. Certified member of the World Metaphysical Association and World Divination Society, and an ordained minister. And co-owner of Mama Ruby Productions, LLC, an event production company. Tell Me Tarot, rare card company, as well as other small businesses. So she's got a lot on her plate. She sounds pretty cool.
Yeah,
so we're
going
to be talking to her next time. So tune in for that.
Tune in, everybody. Thank you so much for
Thanks.
Joining us. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
Hi, friends. Do us and yourselves a favor and check out our affiliate, Three Spirit Drinks. They create plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs that are cruelty-free and vegan, and they are designed to give you some of the benefits of alcohol without the hangover and other side effects. If you're looking to cut down on alcohol but still want the buzz, check them out. The link is us.threespiritdrinks.com and use the promo code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES for 15% off your entire order.